All right, we are about to give a tour de force of our best allocation ideas. Here's our playbook. As investors, what matters to us? Live from New York City, I'm Lauren Goodwin, and this is Market Matters from New York Life Investments. In this podcast, we bring you the best insights from across the New York Life Investments platform because we believe that by sharing perspectives and engaging with you, our listeners, we can all become better investors. Welcome, everyone. It's the week of April 22nd, 2024, and we are back with part two of our team's latest views in our new Outlook series we're calling Macro Pulse. And by we, I mean myself, Julia Herman, and Macro Mike LeGalbo, who are here with me today.
In last week's episode, we shared our latest views on the economic cycle, where we are in it, what's driving it, and the key cyclical risks we see not just in the U.S., but globally. Today, we're going to put those macro views into action, investment action. We'll be sharing our highest conviction investment themes, including top-down asset class insights.
We're going to structure today's conversation sort of like Legos stacking on top of each other. I, Lauren, will be sharing major top-down investment conditions we've observed that can merit specific positioning approaches.
Then I, Julia, will come in and share how these translate into a specific investment approach.
And then I, Macro Mike, will actually be taking the most zoomed in of our views today, specific asset class views that feed into the investment approach that Julia will share.
I'll guide us through as we go, and I hope that by the end of this episode, our listeners will be left with a better sense of how our team takes a big picture view and filters it down to actionable approaches that can hopefully benefit investors of all kinds. We're going to start with the macro conditions we see that are related to equity positioning. First is one that investors can readily see in the market, but it's difficult to time investment decisions around, and that's lofty equity market valuations. And it's not just how expensive equities are, it's expectations for earnings as well that we believe may be a bit optimistic for this year. Earnings growth expectations have topped 11% for 2024 after 0% growth in 2023. And we believe this target may be difficult to hit since economic activity, though still very strong, has slowed from last year. We're not seeing where that acceleration in earnings is likely to come from. That means that when we think about stock picking, two things are most important: the quality of earnings and the cash flow generated by companies.
We often get questions about how to deploy the incremental dollar right now amid these high valuations. And because valuations are so high, usually in big tech firms, and the fact that strong price performance of these firms has likely increased their relative share of portfolios, large cap equity is not our favorite place to add risk right now. Instead, investors can consider doing so in high-yield corporate credit, which carries equity-like risk, but with a more attractive carry in our view.
For our listeners who may be learning about investment options, remember that investments can add value to a portfolio by moving higher in price, that's one way, or by providing income, that's a second way. And that can happen in a dividend that you may receive from an equity or a stock that you own, or a coupon that you get from holding a bond. Typically, those payments come monthly or quarterly or some cadence. So that's the carry that Julia is talking about, the income you receive from a bond portfolio in this case.
Zooming in on high-yield credit as an asset class, equity markets as a whole appear to be pricing in a soft landing, to Lauren and Julia's points about lofty valuations. But high-yield credit has already priced in downside risks in our view, considering that the current drawdown the asset class is experiencing aligns with that of most past recessions. We think this entry point is particularly attractive because the maturity wall for high yield, the principal on this debt that firms must repay each year, does not really set in until 2026. In other words, it doesn't really coincide with a 2024 or even a 2025 recession scenario.
Moving to our second macro level investment condition regarding equities, artificial intelligence. So far, the boom in price has been limited to the foundational layer of artificial intelligence for the most part. The AI hyperscalers, otherwise referred to as the Magnificent Seven, or recently more like the Magnificent Six or even Four. We believe that the trend in artificial intelligence is here to stay, but the future state of exactly what it looks like and who benefits is far from determined.
And because, per our point about lofty valuations earlier, we believe that AI progress is well priced into the Magnificent Seven, we find small and mid-cap growth companies, as well as infrastructure equity, to be compelling opportunities to participate in this AI boom in a way that broadens the potential impacts of this theme. It also helps to mitigate concentration risk.
Let me zoom in on now why we think a broadening of the AI theme is so compelling in the context of market structure. It's very tricky to time allocation to different sizes of equities. Relative performance of small caps is primarily driven by the cycle, and the best time to buy them historically has been when the economy is rebounding, unemployment is falling, and corporate earnings growth is strong. We favor diversifying the AI theme now, not just to diversify eggs from one basket, but also because economic growth has been strong, unemployment has been low, and corporate earnings growth has been strong. The conditions don't perfectly align with an economic rebound, but we see upside risks to the economy. So we believe the macro story for smaller equities can turn the positive side on a dime.
Bringing us then to our final equity-related investment condition, many investors are underinvested in international equity, and I don't just mean today, but really over the last many years. When global growth is desynchronized, as it is today, meaning different countries are in different places in their economic cycle, investors can gain valuable country and sector diversification by taking international equity exposure to balance out the U.S. equity exposure they likely already have.
So with these international equities, we put this idea to action by focusing on quality within companies, marked among other indicators by return on invested capital and free cash flow. As U.S.-based investors, we also have to consider dollar-based returns, accounting for currency impacts from abroad. That would lead us to prefer a 50% hedge, which allows for global exposure to be done without an accompanying strong set of views on individual currencies.
International equities offer both sector and business cycle diversification. While the S&P 500 in the U.S. is extremely tech-heavy, Europe and Japan have more exposure to cyclical sectors like industrials and consumer discretionary. On the cycle side, Germany is already in a recession, and the European Central Bank is likely to cut rates before the Fed does, likely providing support to the European equity market. But our favorite overseas destination for foreign exposure at the moment is Japan. Japan has been focusing on corporate profitability and policy normalization, both great potential tailwinds for investment sentiment.
All right, let's take a quick breath here. I feel like it'd be beneficial to listen to all of that back again. There's just so much packed into that equity idea section of our pod today. First idea was to take incremental equity-like risk in high yield to gain higher carry. Second investment idea was to broaden exposure to the artificial intelligence theme. And third was to consider international exposure. That was a tour de force of equity views. Let's now move to fixed income then. And in fixed income, the behavior of interest rates rises above all else, in our view, as a driver of the asset class in the coming months.
Globally, central banks are pointing toward interest rate cuts. Although, as we've discussed on past podcasts, the timing of these cuts is ambiguous, but the direction is pretty clear. As these cuts set in, we expect investors to begin moving out of cash and into credit to lock in higher interest rates. We like using short duration credit in this circumstance because it provides lower reinvestment risk. Less time you have to wait for a bond to come to maturity to see that higher rate benefit, in our view. Investors are already recognizing this. We've already seen new flows into the money market trailing off meaningfully.
The overweight allocation move here is relatively simple then. We like short duration high yield credit and even prefer moving investment grade credit exposure towards shorter duration.
The caveat about the yield environment is that the U.S. Treasury yield curve is still inverted. It's so heavily inverted, in fact, that we need to see several interest rate cuts before the yield curve normalizes. And that means that not just for the pre-cut environment, but potentially for the remainder of the year as the Fed eases interest rates, we see little incentive for investors to add duration. In other words, because there's a lot of potential interest rate risk out there, we don't think it makes a ton of sense to add a lot of interest rate risk exposure in a portfolio.
And from the allocation perspective, we already have this short duration side covered with short duration high yield credit and even moving investment grade exposures toward shorter duration. But portfolios need some balance, so we would take longer duration exposure in the municipal bond curve. This curve is not inverted and therefore offers a better reward for taking longer term risk.
Zooming in on municipal bonds or munis, the fundamentals look solid. Most U.S. municipalities are well capitalized with healthy reserve balances. The strong starting point provides a needed cushion should revenues and federal aid decline over the coming years. Taxes, aka municipal government revenues, are at elevated levels due to the increase in federal spending to businesses and individuals, combined with the robust housing market driving elevated property tax valuation. This year, muni investors seem to be recognizing the benefits of locking in tax-exempt income at current rates. Stated differently, the benefit of tax exemption is amplified in the current higher-for-longer yield environment.
I'm going to say that again because it's so important. The benefit of tax exemption may be amplified in the current higher-for-longer yield environment. The equity and fixed income-related views we've been discussing so far are based on current macro environment, the economic cycle. But as long-term allocators, we'd like to consider portions of portfolio allocation that are inherently less dependent on the cycle. So let's talk about long-term themes that could be driving portfolio choices today. Number one is essentially an infrastructure build-out. Digitization, electrification, and supply chain re-globalization all point, in our view, to higher spending both at the corporate and government levels on infrastructure.
And there are a variety of ways to access this theme. Infrastructure equity participates here not just in the U.S., but also globally. And infrastructure bonds, or put differently, taxable municipal bonds, may also deserve a structural portfolio allocation.
Let me spend an extra moment on taxable municipal bonds as a duration balancing long infrastructure play. We believe this asset class can provide additional means of generating yield with the benefit of higher quality and diversified credit exposure. And to Julia's point that this is a global theme, global equity infrastructure can also offer inflation protection as cash flows are often linked to inflation. And on the cost side, inflation protection is often written into long-term contracts.
Let me link the long-term infrastructure theme with another theme that extends beyond the cycle. As economists, when we think about higher government and corporate spending on things like infrastructure, we should also think about inflation, at least in the next few years. And we believe that over the medium term, inflation is likely to be not only higher, but potentially more volatile than it was before the pandemic.
So what are some pro-inflation themes? These can be reflected in a structural allocation to things like commodities and materials. Our research suggests that a structural allocation of 1 to 7% sourced from equities may be appropriate depending on an investor's risk tolerance.
Let me zoom in on some of the math to back this up. When inflation is high, stock bond correlation tends to be lower. Investor portfolios may therefore be less diversified in inflationary environments than finance theory would suggest. Accordingly, investors can consider increasing their allocation to commodities to help manage both the inflation and the diversification risks. But not all commodities trade equally. Active management can help investors identify the specific commodities with positive momentum and avoid those with negative momentum.
Coming up next, believe it or not, it's been a year since the regional banking crisis in the U.S. was unfolding. To take stock of where we are now, Julia will be hosting two powerhouse guests in the next couple of weeks to give us a comprehensive status on the health of the U.S. banking system and also commercial real estate, two of the most common questions we've been getting from investors. But that's it for today. We'll be back next week for more Market Matters. In the meantime, please remember to give us a like or follow or review wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you have a question or topic of interest, reach out to us on LinkedIn. You can also follow all of our views at newyorklifeinvestments.com/global-markets. Until then, I'm Lauren Goodwin here today with Julia Herman and Michael LaGalbo. We'll see you next time. The Magnificent Seven are U.S.-listed technology firms seen as drivers or beneficiaries of artificial intelligence progress. Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, Meta, Microsoft, NVIDIA, and Tesla.
All investments are subject to market risk and will fluctuate in value. Diversification cannot assure a profit or protect against loss in a declining market. The opinions expressed are those of the Global Market Strategy Team of New York Life Investment Management, LLC, and not necessarily those of other investment boutiques affiliated with New York Life Investments. This information should not be relied upon by the reader as research or investment advice regarding any strategy, and there's no guarantee that any strategies discussed will be effective. New York Life Investments is both a service mark and the common trade name of certain investment advisors affiliated with the New York Life Insurance Company, New York, New York, 10010.